Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, we're about to cover a subject that's all new to me. Not that I haven't heard of it before, because I have, but it's kind of a mystery. I'm interested to learn more, and I'm sure you are too. Our topic is sickle cell disease. And our expert and guest this morning is nurse practitioner Phyllis Bays. And good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning.
You've been working with patients with sickle cell disease for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Tell me about it. Tell me about some of the basics of sickle cell disease so we can understand it better.
Well, the basics about sickle cell disease that I think that everybody needs to know, and it's confusing, is that it's a genetic disease.
It is genetic.
Yes, it is.
And tell me, it's part of the blood, but tell me how that ties in, because that's all I know.
Oh, okay. It's a red cell disorder, and it's primarily an alteration in hemoglobin.
And tell me what hemoglobin is.
Yeah, hemoglobin is that part of our red blood cells that's responsible for carrying oxygen throughout all of the organs and tissues of our body. In those who have sickle cell disease, there's a defect in that such that at various and unpredictable times, the red cell, which is normally round in shape, assumes that of a sickle shape. And trying to then flow through the body's capillaries, it gets kind of log jammed so that blood cannot flow, and then therefore oxygen does not get to the body. What happens is that a lack of oxygen to body tissues is similar to, I try to explain it to people, is with a heart attack. The reason why we have pain in heart attacks is that there's a part of the heart that's dying because there is no oxygen there to supply the nourishment that it needs. The same thing happens in sickle cell disease. When cells clog up the capillaries, blood cannot get to major organs, and that's what causes that very, very terrible pain.
And that's what patients experience, is the terrible pain.
Yes, and right. That could be limited to their little finger, or it could be limited to the entire body.
Wow. Yeah. So let me understand. So the hemoglobin, it's round, and it's part of the blood.
Well,
and
the hemoglobin molecule is within the red blood cell,
right.
And the red blood cell itself is normally round. That's why it just flows nice and smoothly through the blood's capillaries. For those who have sickle cell disease, there is a alteration of the hemoglobin that, for whatever reason, a cascade has started that the red blood cell then becomes very sickled shape.
And when you say sickled shape, you mean almost like a check mark, don't you? It's
like an actual sickle, like, you know, the kind of sickle that you use to cut wheat.
Right.
It assumes that shape, mm-hmm. Then it becomes very sticky and fragmented.
And it has points.
Yeah, points on the end,
yeah.
And they all clog together. Therefore, it's like think of logs going down a river,
uh-huh.
Normally, and all of a sudden one turns the opposite way and everything is jammed up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I've heard of sickle cell trait. That's the genetic you're talking about. But the trait and the disease are really two different things, aren't they?
Exactly.
Explain the difference.
Right. Having sickle cell trait just means that you have a portion of your hemoglobin molecule that has part of the sickle hemoglobin.
I see.
You only have part of it. So you have the trait. You don't experience the clinical severity of symptoms as those who have, for lack of a better word, the full complement of the sickle hemoglobin, because you inherit it from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So for those with sickle cell trait, they've inherited one sickle gene from one parent, and then from the other parent, their hemoglobin molecule is normal.
Well, but here's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. If somebody has this trait, do they always develop the disease?
No.
They don't?
No,
okay,
no.
So there's a difference there. Yeah,
you're just a carrier. You have the carrier status.
I see. But you can pass that on, can't you?
You can pass that on, mm-hmm. And again, it's genetic, because then, say, you have sickle cell trait, as does your partner has, mm-hmm. sickle cell trait. So we go back to genetics 101 and look at probabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Sickle cell disease develops when you receive one sickle gene from your one parent and the sickle cell gene from the other parent,
mm-hmm.
gets together, and now you have the double component of sickle cell trait genes that have gotten together. Now your child has sickle cell disease.
Is going to have the disease or just the trait?
Disease.
The disease.
Disease.
All right. And then I've also heard the term sickle cell anemia. Is that the same thing?
Well, sickle cell disease is a broad category that encapsulates all of the red cell disorders that affect the hemoglobin molecule.
Okay.
Sickle cell anemia is the term that's used for those persons who have sickle cell disease because they have both sickle genes from their parents.
I see.
But there, within that caption, sickle cell disease, there's also thalassemia, alpha thalassemia, and there are different categories of the sickle hemoglobin.
I see. All right. When is it diagnosed then? I mean, if you know that a baby, I guess you would know a baby was going to be born with it if you knew you had the trait.
Well, you would know that a baby was going to be born with sickle cell disease if the parents have gone to genetic counseling and screening prior to.
But not everybody does,
do they? Not everybody does, no.
Okay.
So sickle cell disease is diagnosed at birth, and the way that we're able to diagnose that is that we look at populations that are of high risk, primarily those of African, African-American, Latino, Hispanic, Caribbean descent in this country, but there is also the thalassemic portion of that, so people that live in Mediterranean areas also have different variations of sickle cell disease.
So there could be somebody who we might consider to be Caucasian who came from that Mediterranean descent that could develop this.
Yes, we could.
Because that is one thing that I had heard was that it was African or African-American based, but that doesn't seem to necessarily hold true, especially in this melting pot we live
in. And that's right. primarily in the United States when we're talking about sickle cell disease statistics. It primarily, like I said, African-American, Hispanic, Caribbean. But you're exactly right. With our melting pot that we do have, and we're having interracial marriages, unfortunately, you're looking 10, 20 years down the road, sickle cell may become more common and more diverse.
Which only makes it that much more important that if it's going to spread among all populations, we want to make sure we study it now so we can nip it in the bud as fast as possible, don't we?
Well, I think that we study it now. I think what we really need to do better or do a better job of is awareness of sickle cell disease.
Right. And that's why we're here this morning.
Right.
Is there any way to prevent it? I mean, if you know it's genetic, can you prevent? You can't prevent something that's genetic, although I suppose you say.
Theoretically, I guess you can, because we look at our Jewish populations, and the most devastating genetic disease they have is Tay-Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
So for that population of people, they're very, very concerned of those who are carriers and that they do the best they can. I don't know really how they do this, but other than genetic counseling, to figure out prior to having children. You know, do the individuals carry the trait? And then you sit with the counselor who then discusses with you the odds and probabilities of any of your children having Tay-Sachs disease.
And do you want your children to be born with the potential for this disease?
And what that does, it allows them to make an informed choice. It does not, I would say that there's not a value judgment to say, okay, you're a bad parent if you do this.
Mm-hmm.
It just allows you to have an informed choice.
Mm-hmm.
What's lacking, I think, in sickle cell disease is for our upstate New York area, we have a smaller population of those that are at risk for it. So there's not a lot of information, whether it's NIH directed from our government grassroots, to talk about that sickle cell disease is still alive and well.
Well, let's go back to talk about some of the symptoms and so forth, and then I want to talk about this study that you're getting ready to do.
Okay.
What kinds of treatments are available? It's a painful disease, the way you
described it. Very painful.
I have to think would be the number one symptom then would be the pain.
Right. That is the hallmark of the disease, the acute hallmark. Unpredictable. Unpredictable episodes of acute pain. The way we primarily treat that now is with opioid analgesics. The pain is just that severe. Hydroxyurea is a drug that was introduced that we know can decrease the frequency of the crises that people have, but it doesn't work for everybody, and it does not cure the disease.
Is sickle cell a life-shortening disease, or do you just live longer with a lot of pain?
I would say that's both. Median age of survival as of 1994 statistics, for females, the age was somewhere around 45, 50, and for males, about 50. However, that's aggregated data, and there are people that live into their sixth and seventh decades, primarily based on the research that we know, increasing our comprehensiveness of care and preventing infections.
And now you're working on a study that's going to further our knowledge and hopefully further our treatment possibilities and maybe prevention. Tell us quickly about your study, because you're recruiting patients to participate with you, am I right?
Yes, I am. My research looks at the stressors associated with sickle cell disease.
Stressors like?
Stressors like socioeconomic stressors, financial stressors, psychological stressors. Current research looks at stressors from the investigator's point of view, the healthcare point of view, that pain must be a stressor for you, and this is what we're going to tell you to do to make it better. We don't look at what the patient says, how the patient perceives the stressors that they have in their lives.
But that's what you want to do, isn't it?
That's what I want to do, because prior research with patients with rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, researchers finally figured out asking the patients what's stressful for them, looking at those stressors, figuring out what we as healthcare providers can do to modify them, definitely and significantly impacts the outcomes of quality of life and treatment adherence.
And so it would be great to be able to make those translations to sickle cell.
Yes, it would.
And you're looking specifically for patients. Give us a profile of the patient you're looking for.
Right. The patients that I'm looking for are adults, male and female, aged 18 or older, who reside in upstate New York and have sickle cell disease and would like to come and talk with me. Mm-hmm. They can call University Hospital Health Connections. Information will be sent to them. I will then make the appointment and travel to their homes to have the interview session with them, which lasts maybe hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And for their time and for my way of expressing gratitude, they receive a $20 gift certificate to any vendor of their choice.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
But that is part of the whole thing, is this is just an interview. This is not like a medical appointment anything like that. It's a conversation with you.
Conversation. And basically, I will say, what stresses you about sickle cell disease? Tell me about that.
Excellent. So if any of our listeners have sickle cell or have a friend or a colleague or a coworker, then they should be contacting you. We will make sure that we put links to that information on our HealthLink On Air website as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, Phyllis Bazin, thank you so much for coming by this morning. I have learned a lot about sickle cell disease that I didn't know, and I know our listeners have as well.
Okay, thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break now. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.